This podcast was recorded at Hartford Street Zen Center, Isanji, in San Francisco. Please help support our temple by making a donation at hscc.org.
The other day it occurred to me that in our actual cells, but below the level of ordinary perception, the original fires of creation are happening. I think if we study that just a little bit, we can see that actually it has to be so. Even given our human tendency to, you know, kind of really put ourselves outside of creation, it has to be so that what is sustaining us is something extraordinary and fundamental. In Buddhist psychology, we have the five skandhas, the five functioning aspects of the person. One of them, the third one, is saññā in Sanskrit, which people translate variously, but one way to translate it is something like conception or conceptualization. It's the function of actually recognizing something. The first skandha, the first aspect of the person in the traditional list is rupa or form, and in some of the original, or anyway, as far as we know, original descriptions, form particularly refers to shape and color. So sometimes we might think, well, form is anything you can touch. But if you look at the psychological texts in Buddhism, and also if you just look at your own experience, touch is actually quite a bit more complex than that. So as I touch our tatami mat here, all of the skandhas are operating. There's clearly sensation. There's a kind of a rough quality or texture. There's the color. And then there's how it feels on the hand. And then there's my reaction to that, which actually is fairly neutral, maybe slightly positive. And then there's the field of consciousness in which all of this is happening. But applying that to our own body and mind, I'm not sure if we can see how amazing really everything is, and especially beings. So an appreciation for how amazing is something that kind of percolates through in the midst of practice, without our having to go look for it. So what is sustaining our life right now in this moment is the fire of creation renewing itself over and over again. Just like all other fires, it is kind of sometimes warmer, sometimes colder, and sometimes maybe seems to vanish altogether. But again, that's from the perspective of our habits of perception. So if someone dies, we might think, oh, well, that person is, you know, that's gone. That person is gone, and now they're nothing. And that, I'm afraid, is, again, to look at things that way is a result of the burden of habitual habits, of habitual perceptions. So I'm very, as I've said, amused by Professor Robert Thurman and his quirky views of things. And among his favorite themes is the insistence that there's no such thing as nothing. That's a kind of invention, particularly of the Western empiricist point of view. There's no such thing as nothing. So beings, you know, Buddhas and sentient beings don't come from nothing, and they don't disappear into nothing. And in particular, nirvana is not nothing. When instead of nothing, there's this endless fire of creation. Sustaining every breath, every heartbeat, every thought, every emotion. It's very easy to contemplate, you know. You don't need special tools. You certainly don't need permission from anyone. Just to be still, completely still, is enough. And that means allowing the surging waves of the mind to settle. Not chasing after them to try and smash them down. As those waves settle, our sense of, not our perception really, but our sense of the endless fire informs our being. And maybe it gives us some encouragement and some little courage to reject the empiricist curse of nothing. The one point of view in Buddhism is that what we call samadhi, or, you know, meditative equipoise, something, is a skill. It's sort of like, I don't know, juggling plates or something. You can look at it that way, but maybe it's more useful, maybe it's better to look at it as a gift of our being as it is. So, even now, just sitting here, is there something lacking? Do we have to say, oh yes, if I only had X, Y, or Z, I could be in samadhi and a great yogi? The more you examine such things, the more you see how provisional those points of view are. To ask wholeheartedly and without, you know, without any demand or aggression, to ask what sustains us now. Opens the door to samadhi. Allows us maybe to hear, I don't know, the echo of the original fire of creation. I think if you go looking right now for what is lacking, I think you're going to come up empty-handed. There's one of our famous Zen stories. You know, it's really great how these stories showcase our concerns and our, you know, what we're worried about in terms of, you could say practice, but in terms of our life and our reality. So one monastic who was, you know, thinking about these things and worried about these things, asked the great master Yun Mun, what is it? And basically he was asking, I want every atom to be in samadhi. How do I do that? What is the samadhi of every atom, teacher? Yun Mun says, rice in the bowl, water in the pail. That's enough, actually, to arrest our ceaseless searching. That endless grasping for something that's lacking, even if we can't say what it is. monastic asks for. The samadhi of every atom, the master gives him rice in a bowl, water in a pail. In other words, water and rice are here now in their fullness. If you still think something's missing, well, that's okay. But I would say, just be still a little bit. Don't fidget. Let what's already there in its fullness inform you. The original fires of creation are warming us right now. There's a saying in the Abhidhamsaka Sutra. Enter samadhi on a single atom. Emerge from samadhi on all atoms. This body-mind, one suchness, if you like, one atom. Everything in 10 directions is the true body. Every atom, all atoms. So, since our recorder is broken, I hope you will consider these teachings and be warmed by them, and let others be warmed by them. And when you leave here today, leave as all atoms, not a single one missing. Let the part of us that already knows great peace with that part have its way. So trusting things as they are right now. Do you have any questions?
So with the rice in the bowl, water in a pail thing, isn't there also something there about it kind of being how it should be and kind of having an attitude of acceptance towards how things are versus like water on the floor or something?
I'm not sure if I quite follow. Could you?
So like rice being in a bowl is like, or water in a pail is like...
Where they belong.
Where they belong and how they're very useful to us and how we like them.
Uh-huh.
And I think that there is an added, there's part of samadhi or, I mean, I don't want to try to speak on that, but it's, there's like yogis believe with meditation that it's easier if you're healthy and like you don't have a lot of drama going on in your life and so on. And so part of the, I think part of the metaphor is that it can also be easier if you're comfortable with how everything is.
Well, I guess I'd say that from my point of view, it's not a metaphor.
Uh-huh.
It's literally rice in a bowl. And that when Master Yunlan hands us that, that's it. There's nothing else.
I see.
That's enough.
Uh-huh.
The fullness of life and universe is in a bowl of rice. What if we're sick? Or, you know, there's a lot of drama in our life. Does that mean we can't practice? No.
Huh. Well, we can practice, but we're not necessarily going to be in the same place.
Well, we might look at our practice, or someone else might look at our practice and say, well, I don't know, that's pretty raggedy, man. But that's ignoring the rice bowl. Every life and moment is rice in the bowl. And that is a great way to settle the drama in one's life.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say the thing that hinders us or keeps us from appreciating...
Could you speak a little louder?
Would you say that what hinders us or keeps us from appreciating the rice in the bowl is kind of our karma or the habits developed over a lifetime of, well, this is the way it is, A plus B equals C, etc.
Right. Master Yunlan hands us the bowl of rice through all that stuff. And in fact says, all that stuff you just described, that's right there in the bowl. It's not a problem. It's just how things are.
So even the hindrances aren't a problem.
That's right. Even hindrances are rice and water. I know it doesn't always feel that way, but to practice in that truth as one's own truth makes a big difference, I would say.
All that you have said is expressing the reason for inspired enactment, and it's from gratitude. I've tried to express this before, but you helped me by everything you said. It's not about concern over karma or any of that. It's the motivation for enacting out of gratitude is this inspiration from everything that you've said. Thank you.
I find it helpful to remind myself to practice gratitude. From the Buddhist point of view, even one moment of gratitude is karmically powerful. Just one moment of saying thank you for what is, it's enough. That too is rice and water.
I have to admit, the start seemed pretty provocative to me.
What's pretty provocative?
With all the, you know, fires of creation.
Oh, sorry.
And, well, I kept thinking about the Fire Sutra. We talked recently in study about the Nidanas, you know, the chain of creation and becoming.
Yes.
So it was interesting to hear it, I don't want to say, maybe flipped in a way that was presenting it and sort of the creation as a sort of wondrous and something for which to be thankful. Not that it's necessarily the right view to necessarily look at it as like these are all hindrances or bad things impeding one's practice, but that can sometimes be the flavor that I certainly get from all those, you know, teachings at first glance.
Yeah, especially some of the, what we think of as the early teachings have that emphasis. But there was no holding back the wave of Buddha Dharma over the centuries as it has developed. The 12 Nidanas, you know, the 12 links in the chain of dependent origination, that's the framing of one of Buddha's insights, shall we say. And yet, that too is not outside of the rice bowl. Buddha taught that, you know, the whole world is on fire. Just like, okay, and that's sometimes a helpful message, but it's not the only one. And I think if we could ask him or her, what about the amazing fire at the heart of things? I think Buddha might say, that's okay too. I was talking to these other folks over here who are really obsessed with desire. So I was trying to give them a hand. But from rice and water, you can make lunch. Okay, well. That's enough for now. Next week we have a guest speaker, and I think we're going to try and have the Buddha's Parinirvana ceremony, which we were supposed to have today, but wasn't in my calendar, unfortunately. So we'll have it next week, and you should all join us. In the meantime, please take care of yourselves. Thank you very much.